flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We're all in studio on a Wednesday, and football season's officially over. Normally, we'd be in Ashburn. There's one game left. It's the Super Bowl. Some people hate it. It's the Super Bowl. I'm excited about
it. I'm going to watch it.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
What up, brother? I'm chilling, man.
Caps had a big win.
Yep.
Did you stay up and watch it?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I was on the treadmill, so.
That's what I was wondering, if you had it on.
Nah.
You did the treadmill from like 8 to 9 last night?
I went home. I sat on that little area I told you on my couch. I fell asleep.
The black hole of awakeness.
Then I sent some stuff to my son. I went and sent that. Came back, ate some food. Waited about 45 minutes, jumped on the treadmill. Got off the treadmill, and when I touched the bed, I was out.
I dropped the girls this morning, came in here early. I had a very interesting conversation with Matt Valdez while he was preparing some sort of avocado dish.
Mm-hmm.
And went downstairs, got on the treadmill. And I hadn't ran. I mean, honestly, I bet I've run twice in the last month. Just the end of the football season, and then they get on this crazy playoff run, and it's the holidays. Like, I was just out of shape, certainly. And thank you, Jeff. And B, I got like a mile and a half in.
Uh-huh.
My legs were heavy as hell, dude. And it was like Greg called me, and I could answer it like on my AirPods.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, can I call you back? I'm dying.
Greg would call you when you're doing something, working out or something. He know he's not going to work out.
I think he was just driving, so it made sense. Caps, dude, are killing it. Took one in Calgary last night.
Yep.
As a radio program, none of us have ever heard a single nice thing about Calgary, right?
I haven't.
Now, none of us have heard.
I haven't heard anything bad about them either, but I've never heard nothing good.
Listen, we've never heard anything about Calgary, but we've certainly never heard a nice thing about Calgary. So, to hell with Calgary. The Caps are in first place in the Metro by a lot. They have 73 points. The Carolina Hurricanes are right behind them with 66.
Mm.
And the Hurricanes have played one more game. In the whole Eastern Conference, they're in first place by a lot. And I think they are tied with the Winnipeg Jets, right? Mm-hmm. Winnipeg Jets for most points in all of hockey.
Mm.
You know what would be dope is if the Caps go on one of these wild runs. Like, as cool as it was when they won the last joint in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm going to be honest with you, B. going to a city like Winnipeg or Edmonton or Calgary, not really on my list of things to do. So it'd be cool if like a work trip.
But if they go on a great
Edmonton,
if they go on a great run and start, and he is in one of those cities when he breaks the record, that would be fun.
That'd be cool too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I want,
you know, that whole country has gone from disliking him just because he wasn't Canadian to respecting the hell out of him now.
Well, who was that one ass bag clown that used to always try to S talk Ovi? That was Canadian.
One of those guys on the one of the top shows.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
was
yeah.
A former coach. I
Milbury, maybe.
Sound like that.
He was a jerk, and yeah. I feel like there was. I understand the Canadians don't like the Europeans. I don't really know what that's all about, but Ovechkin. Remember Scott McLuhan? He would only describe the kind of guys he wanted on the team as football players. You remember that? Ovi is a hockey player.
Hell
like,
yeah.
His game transcends Europe, that's North America, Canada, the U.S., Mexico.
When you are the originator of a certain sport and then someone from somewhere else comes and plays better than people from your country, you feel some kind of way. You know? That's all that is.
For sure.
You got to learn to get over it and just respect. Don't hate the game. Don't right. hate the player. Hate the game. The player, he learned the game, and he did what he was supposed to do, and he's still doing it.
Absolute so. Dog is what he is. B-Mitch, some news yesterday that, frankly, you and I kind of expected, I would say.
Yep.
Kingsbury is not interested in the New Orleans job. Cliff Kingsbury sticking around as yep. play caller. I texted somebody yesterday, and the reply was just, you're going to see a lot more of him. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, for the Commanders on this thing, like, he's under contract. He's just remaining. Like, there's no news for – there's no announcement for them.
They don't have to make an announcement.
Right. Like, so if people are like, oh, why hasn't Washington said anything? Why would they?
They don't have to.
Coach.
I mean,
and
they have him under contract, and he was the one that had to make that choice. He was like, okay, I got interest. I don't want that job right there.
Right.
You know, and like you stated before, he's been a coach before. He's being paid still from Arizona. He can make those choices like that. If it was somebody getting their first job, I'd see they'll jump at it. But, nah, he doesn't have to.
Agree with you there. I think it's been...
You know what makes an offensive coordinator look real good?
Can I guess?
A phenom quarterback.
Yeah, it sure does.
So why would you run away from
Adam Gase got two jobs because he worked with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and,
not they, one,
and
two.
They think he has something to do with Peyton.
Right.
Peyton has something to do with Peyton.
Now,
Peyton was already a star when Adam Gase got him.
Totally. That's just my running joke of like what people will search for to find success. I do think, though, I'm a big believer that Peyton Manning – Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Montana, John Elway, like those dudes were good because they were good.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are certainly coaches along the way that make you better.
Yeah.
Those dudes were good because they were good.
Yeah.
I think Jaden was really good this year because he was good, because he is good.
Yeah.
But I do think Cliff helped also.
Yeah.
I think Cliff,
see,
they grew into a really good relationship.
A smart coach exactly sees what you're capable of and they enhance. They don't try to mess up. We've seen coaches try to take a guy who's already there and change him up and screw up everything. Cliff was like, okay, we know. We see what you're about. I watch your work. Let's figure this thing out. You know? He was smart in that essence. Sometimes the best coach is the one that doesn't change anything about your game. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Have you ever gone to a golf coach and you're swinging and they're trying to make you swing like them? He's 6 feet, 155 pounds.
Right.
You would never do things he can do, but they want you to become them instead of taking what you do well and enhancing that. The smart coaches just enhance what a guy already has.
Well, and I think the best coaches, Cliff said it over and over and over again. I think especially on the offensive side of the ball for play callers, there gets to be such a, I'm trying to think of a different word, a measuring contest, right,
mm-hmm.
among offensive coaches about who could be the best play caller, who could be the most innovative, whose stuff will the nerds like the most, you know what I mean? And I think that's the worst mindset for play callers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best mindset for play callers is, what do I have? How do I play to their strengths? And Cliff said over and over and over again, players, not plays.
Yeah.
And I think they put Jaden in so many advantage in so many positions to succeed. And I think as the season progressed, Jaden got so much more on his plate that he was able to just handle perfectly and keep growing.
Think about this. When Joe Gibbs was calling plays and doing things, everybody and their mama knew they were running the counter right, counter left.
Counter tray.
Power. They knew they were running it. And he kept running. He didn't all of a sudden say, well, I got to start doing this because everybody else is doing it. The best play call is the one that calls the damn play that works. I don't care how much motion you do and whatever, wherever you line somebody up. If it doesn't work, guess what? It's not a good play. If the plays work consistently and it's the most bland stuff in the world, it works. Right now, Kellen Moore, Saquon right, Saquon left. Nothing fancy about it. You know?
Dude,
he's a damn good play caller. You know why? Because that dude right there, you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile.
I think the Commanders got to a place, especially on the fourth downs.
Mm-hmm.
If it was fourth and less than three, you better expect that quarterback counter to the right side
because
they ran it a ton.
And nobody didn't stop it.
Right. And Jaden's ability with his legs was his own version of a cheat code. But, like, if I notice it, you're damn sure the guys that grind film for 14 hours a day notice it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just what works.
Sometimes you can't do anything about it. At that point, when they know what you're running, it comes down to who's going to win, who's going to not let somebody beat them. That's basically the thing. And that's what he means by players. Sometimes it's one-on-one battles. You're going to either kick ass or get ass kicked.
I think, remember when the Cliff was a thing?
Hmm?
Remember when everybody was worried that Kingsbury was going to fall apart in the second half of the season?
Yeah.
That didn't happen. I think there was some really unfair statistics.
If your starting quarterback gets hurt in the second half of the season, hell, he's supposed to fall off.
Right.
Let's be real.
I totally agree with that. I think Kingsbury wanting to stay is awesome for the continued development of Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Not that, like, he needs more work, but it's just two guys getting to know each other.
Chemistry, consistency.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that works.
And there's zero doubts about Jaden's work ethic.
Yeah.
From college to now, the virtual reality, how early he gets in there. But there is something. I feel like there's a little something, B. Adam Peters in the presser the other day said, he's like, man, we love Cliff. We thought he had a great year. He's a great leader. He's a great play caller. And Peters joked, and he's like, damn, I try to beat him in here, and I still never do.
Yeah.
The guy is in here at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
There's a little something in that to me where, like, I feel like I know Jaden a little bit. That's a hyper-competitive dude.
He's
going to be like, I'm going to beat this MF into the office one of these days. You know, like, I think there's a little healthy.
But that right there is that healthy competition.
Right.
Where you and your coach
pushing each other forward.
Because, like, Chris Bosh, when he was trying to beat Kobe in, he wasn't trying to beat Kobe to say, oh, yeah, I'm better than you. He was trying to beat Kobe because he's like, damn, how early does this dude get up? And he runs in there like 2 hours earlier than he would normally do, and Kobe is on his way out from already having an hour and a half workout to go get some breakfast and come back. If you keep trying to beat the guy who's the standard, what is it going to do for you in the process? Make you better, right? So Cliff and Jaden with that little friendly competition right there, and then Adam coming in with it, all that stuff makes your team better. You know, because, like, sometimes, you know, you ever heard the story where they talk about the guy was saying, you don't have to be smarter than the people. You just got to get there before them. So if the super intelligent person shows up at 10 o'clock and you got there at 6 or 7, you got 3 hours on him. So you may not be smarter than him, but you got more time working in it, and you become just as effective as he is. So if all those guys are trying to win to get in there earlier, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be other people on the team getting in there early, too.
Dude.
And then at that point, you're putting more work into the game plan with a lot of people, which builds a lot of great chemistry.
Totally, man. So. I I think it's great news. I think they're still going to lose coaches. Like, there's going to be guys further down the roster, whatever it is, down the staff ledger, whatever you would call the coaching side of this. Odds are they're still going to lose somebody. I'd be shocked if a guy, like, I know this much. David Blough is not going to be an assistant quarterback's coach for long.
No.
His reputation and the he installed a bunch of plays this year. And one thing I love, man, I've experienced this in my life as a media person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know some of the people I'm talking about. There are, and this can happen in any profession, mm-hmm. whether you're an accountant, a DJ, an architect, trying to start your own business, whatever mm-hmm. it is. There are people that will intentionally try to stunt your growth mm-hmm. because they want either for their own self-preservation or they want to try to take their ideas and instead of you growing, they get credit for stuff.
Yeah.
Those people exist in the world, in all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I love and appreciate about Kingsbury, he's so confident, and maybe it helps that he's probably sitting on $25 million in the bank or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's just who he is as a person. He's never like that. Every time there was a play that was a David Blough creation, he would say, "Oh, Blough came up with that."
Yeah,
I love that approach because that when it's truly comprehensive and everybody gets to contribute, but two, like I'm not trying to take credit for somebody else. That was awesome that they did.
That what goes around comes around thing works, and like let's be real, there's a lot of people in the world who take credit for a person who they never really talked to about the business, but that person goes after hours and work. And then the person that just happened to be the person they report to, they take credit. You don't have a damn thing to do with my success for the most part. You know what I mean?
Totally.
That happens a lot. But, you know, I think Blough's not going to always be sitting where he's at. But you know what? I believe that this the brain trust and the people in front of this whole thing, if it's like a little competition and it's a little bit more, they may give him more.
I agree with that.
You know, and a lot of times the situation in one place could be way better than the situation with a better title. So I told my boy Kenny one time, like, man, they're going to give me a promotion. I said, what's that promotion? He said, well, man, my title going to change this and this. I said, did you get more money? Said, nah. I said, well, don't take it. He said, why? I said, because the title you have now, you can get fired for what you did yesterday. See, when they change your man, give you a little management title, then they can fire you for the stuff you did as a whatever.
Right.
No. If they don't give you more money, don't take it.
Now, you mean that advice except for the dozens of official correspondents we have here on the B. Mitchell Finley program. Because, like, for a guy like Tress Way, being our official Oklahoma lifestyle reporter, carries great consequence, although no financial reward.
Hey, guess what? He has the same title forever. We have to change the title.
Right.
We are not going to give him a promotion, so he won't ask for no money because we ain't giving him none.
Coming up later, we have the official analytics expert of the B. Mitchell Finley program, Neil Greenberg. Again, the title, very, very lofty, no financial compensation.
We gave Tress that title bump, and he started throwing passes in the NFC Championship game.
See, we helped him out.
The
B.
Mitchell Finley bump.
That's all I'm saying.
We gave him confidence, Landfill.
Exactly.
Greenberg's coming on at 11. Mike Jones from The Athletic at noon. Jeff Ehrman previewing a big Terps hoops game tonight at 1:30. Pack show coming your way. Do you want to know the real story or just the public-facing version? I wrote an article. My fingers could still type. I'll explain when we return. Now, if you have a question about what got me to write that article, I'll explain.
Huh?
If you have a question about buying or selling a house, there's only one dude you should talk to, and his name is John Leahy.
Yep, John Leahy has helped a lot of people. Look, Amy's mom has dementia, and it became time for her to move in with her daughter. Amy's heart was aching, seeing her mother, who was once vibrant and independent, now facing such significant challenges. Amy felt the right thing to do was to be responsible and make the emotional, difficult decision of selling her mom's Vienna property. So John Leahy and the Fine Living Group came highly recommended. So Amy reached out to him, and she's so glad that she did. The property sold in only 3 days and for $65,000 over the asking price. But not just that. The entire transaction was both hassle-free and headache-free, enabling Amy's mom to move in move on, and settle in smoothly. Looking for your own stress-free transaction? How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. That's John without an H. That's John. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized for your needs.
I think, B, when you tell the story of the woman, like if you're dealing with something like that where your mom has dementia or you've got a family member that gets sick or goes into hospice, let's just be honest. Everybody deals with that. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor.
Yeah.
Like religion, like sickness and age come for everyone. And dealing with that stuff just sucks. So get an expert that can handle all that for you and take one stress out of your life. Like some of this isn't about getting the highest dollar or making sure you maximize square footage. Some of it's about, I know this is an expert that can help me and I won't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, John will get you top dollar too. Yeah. Seriously, man, if you have a family situation, divorce, you got to move a job, whatever it is, call John. Just let him talk you through it and see what your options are. 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And start packing. This is dope. Jaden Daniels. I mean, this is way down the list as far as reasons you should like him. White Brian, can you bring me that Gatorade, dude? Sorry, I left it in there. Please. There's a lot of reasons you should like Jaden. I would say his football ability and calm demeanor are the top of the list. But I also love that he's just not a social media dude. Thank you very much. I bet he posts, Jeff, I'm sure you follow him. I bet Jaden posts like 4 or 5, mostly kind of like religious encouragement or like pictures of his boys catching touchdowns on Instagram a week. Like, it's not a very active account.
Yeah, you get your morning prayer right before the day started, the crack of dawn, and then you get your pictures of your boys, like you said.
Yeah, which is awesome. And, you know, everybody should use social media however they want, but I got to say, I love how Jaden uses it because it is infrequent.
Are you focusing on his real job first?
But I like this. I don't know if you've seen this. I'll drop it in the chat just so we all get to see it. But I legit don't know the last time. I'll look this up real quick. Jaden uses Instagram a little bit, but he really doesn't use Twitter at all. X, the people's app, landfill. Jaden's last tweet was November 4th, and it was about Malik Nabers. Like, that's how infrequently this dude is on Twitter.
I think, you know, a lot of the Twitter stuff is someone trying to make themselves something they're not. And I don't think that's the type of person he is.
Agreed.
So, and I think he's the type of person where he feels if I focus on what I'm here to do, all that other stuff will come with it.
Agreed. Now I say all that because Jaden tweeted something for the first time in 3 months, about 20 minutes ago. And for all the haters that are gonna be like, oh, he's paid to do it. Shut up. I'm aware of that, but it doesn't change that it's cool. Daniels just tweeted out, I'm blessed in season one as a grandson of veterans. I'm teaming with USAA and MCA Marines to pass along one more blessing. I'm proud to send Jonathan Knauth, a 30-year Marine vet and lifelong NFL fan, on a trip to the Super Bowl. Enjoy the game. Hashtag salute to service.
For the person that gets mad at that post right there, pucker up and let my butt hit you on the lips.
That's
all I'm going to tell you. Because,
I think it's awesome.
I mean, it's for a person to get upset at that, it's the dumbest
person in
the world.
People are. I just know inevitably somebody will say something like, oh, he's paid to do that.
And what I just said, I still mean.
I just think it's cool. He's He's not a dude that uses social media, and occasionally he does. Yes, it's a
corporate sponsorship. Everyone is mad because, like they say, what social media make people get? If you could profit off of it because you have that type of mindset, go get it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make him. It doesn't define him, which I love.
Me too.
A lot of people, that's their whole life, social media. They don't have it. They can't do nothing else. So if you're not doing your job good and you keep doing social media, guess what you're going to be doing? Social media without that damn job. And once you lose that job, guess what people are going to want? Not want to hear from you.
Well said. All right. I wrote a story, Brian. It's been a while. There's a lot of content these days, but not a lot of writing anymore, which kind of makes me sad sometimes. But whatever. There's just not enough time in the day. I definitely didn't write this because I was stuck on a plane that had no Wi-Fi or TV and I had nothing else to do but my thoughts. That's definitely not what got me writing. But B, I think...
Oh, were you telling us what definitely got you writing?
No. Washington had an awesome year, but it's turn the page time. Peters is down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, looking at the draft class. The coaches probably get a couple days, but they're going to be watching tape, self-scouting, seeing where they got to get better. So I wrote kind of the four next steps for Washington. And I think the biggest one now that we know is Cliff is sticking around.
Yep.
So that was a big question, and they have the answer. I mentioned David Blau before. One thing I would keep an eye on, David Blau's last season in Detroit was in 21.
Mm-hmm.
Then Blau ended up in Arizona in 22 with Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
But his last season in Detroit was Dan Campbell's first year, I believe. On that staff, you had Anthony Lynn as your OC. Anthony Lynn's here in Washington. And you had Ben Johnson as your tight ends coach on that staff with David Blau. David Blau's reputation in Ashburn, but around the league, is super, super smart and kind of a intuitive level of football. Johnson's now the head coach in Chicago. You're going to lose guys. That's what happens to good teams. And I asked EQ about this in the finale presser, whenever that was, Monday. And Dan Quinn said, as a staff, if you do well, then those are some of the things that take place.
Yeah.
We have a deep crew, and that was part of the plan all along, that if those moments happen, we'll be ready to adjust. I think we got to be prepared for some changes. That happens on every NFL team, especially ones that do well.
People leaving your team and coming to your team is just like what we do every day. When you wake up, you breathe, don't you?
Yeah.
It happens. I don't think it's a topic. I'm not dismissing it, but saying it's something that is going to happen. And because it's happening, if you think it's so big, then you're not paying attention. If you're losing, you're losing people, and you're going to have people coming in. If you're winning, people taking your people, you still got to bring people in. So it happens no matter if something good or bad happens. It's just it's a part of the business.
It's part of the equation. It's waves at the beach, man. It comes and it goes.
Yeah.
And it comes and it goes. Number two, kind of the next thing, the next step here, the next shoe to drop is free agency in the NFL does not open until early mid-March. So you got some time.
Mm-hmm.
But you could sign your own guys.
Yeah.
Whenever. There is nothing stopping you from signing a person. Now, granted, their contract's going to expire March 12th, I think, is the league year. But, like, you could sign them February 27th.
Yeah, you can talk to them.
I am not sure they will. That is hardly a given. But everybody's aware of all the veterans they have, one-year deals. You had Zach Ertz went out of his way to say, I'm not retiring. I want to be back here. He also said, but I understand this is a business. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Tress Way said the same thing. Deami Brown said the same thing. You've got guys like Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn. They got a lot of guys to probably figure some stuff out with.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rule preventing them from starting that process sooner than later, especially the NFL Combine, where everybody's agents there is probably about a month out. Let's get some combine dates. This is me telling Landfill when we'll be gone, B. Probably the 24th through the 1st. I will go as minimally as possible to Indiana, so expect me out there 2 days that last week of February. But that's kind of the next internal step. They're going to watch all this tape, and they got to make decisions who they want to try to get something done with.
Yeah.
There's probably some dudes that they were really happy with what they got this year, but they might still look elsewhere for next year.
Probably.
It's an evaluation business. The third thing, B, I don't know if you agree with me, but I for whatever we can, I kind of want to calm down the go shop at the top. Like, they have all this cap space.
Yeah.
Spend all of it. I am not sure that's what's going to happen. And I think...
Let me just hit you a little bit. That ain't going to happen.
All right.
So, listen, don't put your attention on the people that are just being outlandish and just saying stuff. You watch those people well enough to know they're not just going to spend top dollar on everybody. They want to build this thing for the long haul. And they may spend a good bit of it and improve at some positions, but they still want to be able to compete as the next year come along to even make that team better. So I have had people, and look, I got my college text thread. They telling, man, they should go get this person. I say, probably won't. Man,
it's
you
the same
crazy.
College text thread that thought the Saints were going to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. And they're like, man, why? I say, because you don't, if you just go spend all your money just all at one time, you don't really improve yourself. You don't put yourself in the position to build and be consistently good. I said they could probably go get, like, everyone, they're talking about one receiver. Now, there's two of them that keeps popping up.
T. Higgins.
I said, you can go get somebody from college, because receivers today are probably the most developed position coming out of college.
So, specific to that, you and I couldn't be more in lockstep. I think the receiver position has become so high paid that you've got the receiver position is the number two highest paid in the NFL. Jefferson's making 35, CeeDee Lamb's making 34, A.J. Brown's making 32. Whatever Chase gets this year, he might push 40, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep talking about Higgins. Higgins is a really good player. I like T. Higgins. I think he is one of the best in the NFL, if not the best, at showing late hands.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when he's running a route and he doesn't put his hands up till the last possible second, the DB has no chance, because the DB is coached to look for his hands, right? And so when he shows those late hands, Higgins is so good at that. He also has missed time. Like, you're going to pay T. Higgins $33 million a year? Briefly, Brian Thomas Jr. led all rookie receivers last year with 1,282 yards. He was picked 23rd overall and went to a terrible offensive system. Like, whatever they had going in Jacksonville was broken. Mac Jones looked better than Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Nabers was 4th overall pick, had 1,200 yards. Brock Bowers was the top 10 pick, tight end, a little bit different. Ladd McConkey,
mm-hmm,
I think was a 3rd rounder out of Georgia. I'll pull it up real quick.
But he was always open in college.
Second rounder, Ladd McConkey went for 1149. Marvin Harrison was the first receiver drafted, just under 1,000. Adunze went 9th or 10th overall. But then, you know who looks like they could really play?
Who's that?
Xavier Leggett, the kid down in Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
Once the Panthers kind of turned that season around, Leggett was a huge part of that. Keon Coleman, I thought, looked really good in Buffalo. There are receivers throughout the draft.
Cookie Man. Cookie Monster.
Yeah. to me, draft your receivers, develop your receivers, pay them. And if you look at what they did in San Fran, where Peters came from, they drafted and developed Ayuk, Kittle, Debo.
Well, that's one thing that we have now.
And then they paid their guys and kept them.
That's one thing we have that we didn't have prior. We draft people and we develop them. It's been a long time we draft people, and if the person wasn't just an automatically worker, they were not going to get better. We've seen guys get drafted, and in the third year, they look worse than they did in their first year. Other guys Terry came in here. Terry was a worker from day one, and he improved. And yes, a lot of the most of the credit goes to Terry. But I sit here and watch how, talking to his coach, and he's like, look, man, I ain't got to put much attention on that dude right there. Because I know he's going to get it done. I know he's going to put in the work. I think a lot of other receivers got to get that same mindset.
I will give an opportunity for the alternate viewpoint to the aquarium to Brian and I saying, don't spend big at wideout, draft a wideout. Nobody go anywhere, Greenberg, at 11.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Super Bowl 59, one game, two teams, endless possibilities. And there's no better way to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel Sportsbook. Whether you're predicting the first touchdown, who will take home the MVP trophy, or the coin toss, FanDuel makes it easy to place your bets and feel the thrill of every moment. With live betting all game long, you can jump into the action, adjust your bets, and ride the wave of excitement from kickoff to the final whistle. Plus, to make the Super Bowl even sweeter, new customers can score $200 when you make your first bet. Just place a $5 bet, and if you win, you'll get $200 in bonus bets. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Brian and bet with NFL and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Shout out to Aretha. Brian and I both contend. I'm not saying you can't sign wide receivers, right? But I have no interest in Washington going to the top of the market in the wide receiver market, spending $35 million. And I mean, if Chase became available, sure. But like, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it as a dig at Higgins. I think Higgins is a really good player.
He's a damn good player. I just think
for what you can get in the draft and then develop yourself.
That position has proven itself. All right, I'll just say this. Look at the top receivers in the league. Go the last 6-7 years. Most of those guys came to their teams and been the leading receivers since they got to their team, right? They didn't have to wait years. They were there. They were there instantly. Chase was.
Jefferson
was. Hell, the kid, Thomas, this year, a lot of people didn't hear his name a lot. When you look at the rookie of the year, it's Malik Nabers.
Right.
Thomas, Jaden, those three guys were on the same football
team. Just draft an LSU wide receiver.
Yeah, they were on the same receiver, on the same team. So you have to understand this thing in the NFL, it goes in little circles and stuff where what you see 1 year, the next year you won't. Well, the receiver thing has been running for a while. And if you look on the weekends and when I went to the thing last year with Michael Vick and Devin Hester, there are seven-on-seven competitions where quarterbacks, DBs, and receivers, those positions right there are growing because they do it year-round. They do it all the time. And those guys are prepared when they come out of college to go do whatever they need to do, no matter if they come out as a junior, senior, whatever. They're ready to go.
And I'm not – like, Washington could take a receiver at 29. Washington could move up to 25 if there's somebody they like. Like, they got options. Brian Thomas went 23rd, yes. You know? And I think the receiver position just continues to be loaded.
But before I go there, Jado, before I say – people like always want to jump on the receiver. When you look at the game Sunday, and you look at games a lot, if you don't have the big beefies to get that quarterback time or guys that can affect the quarterback, nothing happens. I believe you need to be worried about that first. And you could probably find another receiver. But you saw receivers on this team come around at the end. So we'll see.
For me, I mean, their offense finished top 10 in every measurable stat. You can remove run game if you want, but and in the run game, I'm sure they were still technically top 10. I think, yeah, they still finished third in rush yards. A lot of that's Jaden, but The position to spend for me and the outlook I think was the best was what Minnesota did. Minnesota lost Danielle Hunter. And that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Danielle Hunter got damn near top of that market money. He's a really good player. He deserves it. Houston spent big to bring in Danielle Hunter. And he's a really good rusher. I'm not doubting any of that. Danielle Hunter got $25 million a year.
Yeah.
So Minnesota pivoted and they signed two guys that they knew would fit their system and got awesome play out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, one of them, they got kind of a, not a bargain, but they signed Van Ginkle from the Dolphins, who proved to be really good.
Damn good.
Van Ginkle's, I think he's making like $13 million a year. And then they also signed Jonathan Grenard, ironically, from Houston. So Hunter goes to Houston. Hunter leaves Minnesota, goes to Houston. Grenard leaves Houston, goes to Minnesota. They signed Grenard at 19. So they got two guys for $29 million, whereas Danielle Hunter went to Houston for 25. And those two guys fit their system perfectly. I'm not advocating to not spend. I'm just saying you don't have to go top of the market for a team where you still have lots of holes. And I think we got to.
What I say is this. People fall in love with names. I think you have the people in place that are going to sign guys that can play. I could give a damn about the name of the person that you get. I want the guy to be able to play when he comes here. See, we've seen that over the years, too, where we've brought in all these free agents from all over the place, and they get here and they do absolutely nothing. I want them to go get guys that can still play, guys that don't have an ego so big that they care only about themselves and not about the damn team. And they've been able to build something over this last year with that type of mindset. So there are some guys out there that are free agents, and I know a lot of fans going to be saying, I could probably go on out on a limb. I didn't talk to Adam or any of them about none of this stuff. This is my opinion. They're going to probably stay away from some of those other guys because they are culture killers. And I don't blame them.
B, how about this? My guy, 1981 Trading Company, says, JP, you can do both. Nothing's stopping you. The Packers 49ers model is good for consistency for playoffs, but don't win you Super Bowls. Niners were in two Super Bowls in the last 5 years. That's what you want. That you run into Mahomes and like the
dude's impossible to beat. That's a problem.
But like people got to recalibrate. Speaking of recalibration, we had a dude call in and said we don't want to be Baltimore or Buffalo. This dude saying you don't want to be the Packers or the Niners. Like that's exactly what you want. If you're getting to the divisional round every year, some of this is puck luck. Some of this is how a fumble bounces or how a field goal bounces. But, like, if you are consistently at that level at the last
you should kick the door down unless you run into one of the greatest ever.
Yo, and maybe Jaden will prove to be that guy.
Yeah.
I believe Patrick Mahomes' first year starting, he lost in the AFC title game. Isn't that when they lost to Brady?
Who?
Mahomes. The first year starting, he lost in the AFC title game. So if you want to use that as your guide.
But see, this is the thing I don't understand. Tanner and I were talking. I'll get to it when we get back.
We got a break. We got Greenberg next.